For 9/15/11, Once Upon a Justin Timberlake, it's Video Games Hot Talk. I'm Zach.
And I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And I'm special guest
Nightmare.
No, you gotta use a real name.
I'm sorry, my real name is David.
Cool. What's up, David?
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
It's all right.
Yeah. This is the non-video game section of the show that Kevin insists that we do every month, even
it would
though it's
be
boring.
Fucking natural and fine if you wouldn't say that every fucking time.
If I didn't lampshade it.
Yeah.
If I didn't lampshade it. What are you even up to that doesn't have anything to do with video games? I saw you hanging out by the pool with your balls flopping out.
Yeah, that was an
who are you talking to?
Morning.
You.
No.
Who hangs out by my pool with their balls out?
I have no idea. My balls are not hanging out.
His balls were totally hanging
out. I had to go out and talk to your girlfriend on the porch, and she was like, be careful, my boyfriend is out here with his balls flopping around, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll just wear blinders.
And by wear blinders, you mean stick pencils in your eyes?
Yeah, so I never have to see that or anything else ever again. What have you been doing? What have you been doing, Kevin? How's your segment?
I don't even know.
I know. I just started just out of the gate. So mean. Out of the gate. So mean and so
poor
boring.
Kevin.
And, yeah, this is,
he puts up with so much.
You're a saint.
Buddy. Things have been good. I've watched some movies. I've had a chance to sleep for a while, which was not the case a while before that.
Two or three days in a row, I just slept until I was done sleeping. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, it was really nice.
What movies you watch?
I saw the greatest movie ever sold. I saw X-Men First Class. It was pretty good. I went roller skating and was drunk at the same time, which was fun.
Nice. Was the greatest movie ever sold the Morgan Spurlock?
Yep.
Is it about how Morgan Spurlock has good ideas but is kind of a dick?
He was not particularly a dick in the movie. It was interesting to see. It was like, you know, he had this idea where he would make a movie about making a movie that was getting funded by...
By product placement
and, like, you know, advertising and promotion and stuff like that. And then that's what he did. And the movie was just him, like, he was filming him going to the, like, sponsors and, like, trying to pitch the idea. And then most of the time he was not allowed to film the ones where he was not getting approved or whatever. But, like, he went and he got money from people. And then it was interesting, you know.
So by the time he was done pitching the movie to all these people, the movie was done being made.
Kind of. So he pitched the movie to a bunch of people, and he finally got sponsors. And then they had to talk about how they were going to cross promote, like what they were going to do to get through their brands, get word out about his movie, and then what he was going to do in the movie for them. And then he also did some, like, you know, like, how am I going to advertise the movie? And he, like, went to a school and got the name of the school on, like, the jerseys.
What exactly was his underlying message through this? Was it that it was a good thing, that it was a bad thing, just that
McDonald's makes you fat?
It was very sort of non-judgmental. It was just like, here's, you know, advertising and is pervasive. Here's an example of, like, what's going on, and just here's the process. Here's currently how it happens. You know, here's how you get a can of Coke in a movie, or, you know, you get to the point where now, like, there are, like, lines of dialogue in movie or TVs that are like, you know, if you just stop drinking Dr. Pepper, like, it's a road trip. Drinking Dr. Pepper is mandatory, or whatever. Like, that's like an actual line of dialogue from some stupid, you know, TV show or movie or whatever. And, like,
I thought that was, like, a rule.
Yeah.
I thought it was a law that Obama passed, trying to make us into a Dr. Pepper socialist country.
No. That was just propaganda.
Man, listening to people talk on NPR about the Republican debates just made me, once again, just certain that we are fucking doomed.
I haven't listened to anything about that. I've been staying away from the news.
The real world has been a mystery to me for the last few weeks.
It all makes me wonder what it would have been like to be living in the last days of Rome.
Yeah.
Like, what would that experience would have been? Would they have been saying the same things about their politicians that we say about ours?
Can you hear somebody fiddling through a fire?
Yeah.
I think in the last days of Rome, one of the most controversial hot-button issues was that one of these candidates was
a horse.
Fucked Catherine the Great to death or something. I don't actually know that story. But no, so I was reading on the news about how like it's this big controversial thing that Rick Perry, when he was the governor of Texas, signed into law a requirement that girls get vaccinated for HPV, which I was like, okay, so
Howard
I can see why
Phillips Volcraft.
Yes. I can see why like Jesus freaks would be angry that you do this thing that sort of makes sense from a public health standpoint, but implies that people are going to be fucking. But that seems like a reasonable thing that the guy did. Why is this a big controversy? And then I found out, like, oh, no, it was because he was actually in league with some pharmaceutical company that was manufacturing the shots and so profited from that legislation. I was like, oh, okay, he's a Republican. Like, what are you going to do? Video Games Hot Dog does not have a political agenda, except insofar as we hate the Jews.
We don't hate the Jews. Just this one particular guy we all know.
He's a jerk, though. You guys would hate him, too.
Yeah, F that guy. No, I'm just kidding. I love Jews, and I want to buy them jam. This is a great segment so far, Kevin. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
You glad we do this show?
Yeah, it's great.
I saw Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
That had some... I think there was a Jew in it.
I mean, do you think it was made the way it was so that there would be some sort of video game tie-in?
Okay, so they were talking about this on the Overthinking It podcast. This is a thing that is, it's an interesting conversation, I think, potentially. But they they went in a different direction, I think, because they don't spend as much time thinking about video games as I do.
Sure.
I wish I had been on this particular episode to talk to those guys. So they were talking about how there's this video gamification of movies.
Yeah.
Right? Movies are just coming out that are more and more like video games. I don't necessarily think that is because video games are influencing movies so much as I think that like video games and movies now are both capable of putting on the screen like pretty much anything that anyone can imagine, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what they're talking about is the visual stuff, but a lot of what they're talking about is like, you know, there is a little like minor subplot in the beginning of the Conan the Barbarian movie where it's like, okay, so we had this mask that this necromancer used that was made out of the bones of dead kings to try and become a god and enslave all of Hyboria. And so what we did was we broke this mask into 7 pieces and we gave each of them to one of the tribes of barbarians because they were the only ones who could not be enslaved by this necromancer, and we sent them all out. But like, which is a very video gamey thing, like the thing that is broken into 7 pieces and you have to go collect them all. Mm-hmm. Like, in a lot of ways, I think that video games, because you can do anything that you want with a video game, what you're going to tend to do is encapsulate these, like, kind of satisfying abstract things, like collecting a bunch of pieces of something and then forming it into something that is powerful, right? That you wouldn't have necessarily done in a novel where you had to write each of the 7 stories, because going into 7 different places and collecting an object doesn't flow well as a story, whereas in a video game where you have a bunch of shit that you got to do, kind of
does. On the other hand, that has happened, although I feel like I can't think of any examples in books where that's happened before the advent of video games, but for example, the Harry Potter series had all those Horcruxes.
Yeah.
Sure. It's only 3, not 7. It's usually 7. And it's 7 Triforce pieces. I think there are probably 8. I don't know. Ben, what? No, but like, I wonder whether or not it is like that video games are influencing movies, or if it is just that like video games very early on, because of the level of abstraction that they were able to work with in expressing ideas, were able to express way more...
Ocean's 11.
Simplified. Okay, so Ocean's 11, like...
Gathering a team.
Yeah, the Epic of Gilgamesh, right? Like
there have always been rules as to what makes a story. You know, maybe there weren't rules that people followed, you know, 100,000 years ago or however, but... when the first movies were made. But those rules came about because those were the stories that people were telling, and those rules still sort of hold true. I'm trying to remember what the name of the book was. It's the Hero with 1,000 Faces. Have you ever read that?
Nope.
But it sort of takes all of the fairy tales and all of the epics from the early days of recorded history and looks at the underlying math of those stories.
Is that the Joseph Campbell?
Campbell, yeah.
I keep meaning to read that.
I think part of it is like the story of the quest is a compelling story, right? And the advent of the video game made it so that story got told hundreds and hundreds of times with subtle variations on it. And a lot of those variations were pretty resonant. A lot of those variations were sticky and interesting and felt really satisfying to hold in your head as part of a story. And I think that's... I think video games have not turned movies into video games so much as they have added a lot of additional vocabulary a very particular kind of story.
It's probably like
a compelling narrative. And now that movies can display things like, oh, well, you know, so like maybe they didn't have a fire level and an ice level in Conan the Barbarian because they couldn't do it. They totally fucking would have sent him into a volcano and a glacier if they had the budget for it, right?
But yeah.
And, you know, maybe some of those movies were good because they didn't have that budget. I don't personally think that, like, Roy from, who you might know from advicehotdog.com /minimumsafedistance.org, was not at all impressed with the new Conan movie. He thought that the story was very bad. He said, from now on, we will have to distinguish between this Conan movie and the good one.
His opinions on movies are to be taken with a grain of salt, though.
Yeah.
So, like, one of his favorite movies is Southland Tales, which is one of the worst movies ever made. So,
and I believe you. But I also believe him, so I don't know. I'm torn. I'm conflicted. I've got cognitive dissonance. The Conan movie was dumb, but the original Conan the Barbarian was kind of dumb in a lot of ways. The one criticism that I have of this movie is a criticism that I have of a lot of things nowadays, where about a half a dozen times over the course of the movie, I was struck by this device that they use where something happens, and then someone will literally shout... A character will shout to another character, "This thing just happened." So, like, the evil guy...
Hey, audience!
The evil guy brings his witchy... I was looking forward to, like, a super hot goth chick in this movie because when Conan is a child, the evil bad guy brings in his daughter, who is a witch, and is just, like, super goth, like, 13-year-old girl or whatever. And I'm like, oh, man, that girl's going to be so hot in the next scene when she's, like, 25 and Conan's also 25. But no, she's got this horrible haircut.
She's got a horrible haircut.
The front half of her head is shaved, and so it just ruins it.
I see.
And then they she's constantly dressed like she just got breast surgery.
So, like, all her eyebrows and stuff just gone?
I don't know if her eyebrows are gone or not. That's a good question.
I think you would have noticed if her eyebrows
I probably would have noticed. I mean, she was hideous. She was hideous instead of a hot goth chick. Mm. That's my criticism of Conan.
that took you out of the movie.
I know it did. But before that, when she is going in there and they're like, you know, murdering Conan's family or whatever, and she is like, they're collecting the seventh shard of bone for the mask. They're like, "Where is the shard? Where is the shard?" And she says, "The shard is near. I can sense it. I can sense the shard. The shard is near. I can sense it. The shard that we're looking for to complete the mask. I can find it." And then you see her going and like running her claw fingers around on things, like using her detect shard spell, which is more useful than the detect shard spell,
which is pretty obvious.
Earlier, that one's really obvious. Witch
school. No one needs that.
But she finds it and she tears open the floorboards, grabs the box out, opens it up, and says, "I found the shard!" And then her dad yells, "She found the shard!"
God damn it!
Like, have we turned everything into a reality TV show where it's like you say something that happened, and then you show it, and then you say it, and then you say it again, and that's how you drag a reality TV show
maybe
out
they
long
were,
enough to
maybe
make?
Maybe they were making this movie also for the blind audience as well. Just so
maybe it was written by a Markov generator.
They have those things where you get a headset to go into the movies and there's a recording that goes along with the movie that tells you everything that's happening in the movie.
Maybe they were playing that by mistake.
Oh, maybe they were. They played that instead of the dialogue. It was, "I'm running across a bridge. I'm swinging my sword. I hit a sand guy with my sword and he fell apart. It was awesome." I was like, "Dad, that is really weird.
You missed
dialogue.
Your calling. That's
I should narrate those things."
I'm confused as to how the headset works.
There's these headsets for the blind that just have like a kind of a running commentary about what's going on.
But they have to talk over dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Huh.
They squeeze it in. They squeeze
I also
it
might
in fast.
Just be making that up. All right. I don't know. You blind people have to be able to watch movies. I guess.
I don't know. I mean, they don't have to do
they
anything.
Hear movies.
Well, what they do is they take somebody in there with them. So what they do is they go to a theater in a neighborhood where there's a lot of minorities so that they will know from whatever everyone in the theater is yelling at the screen what is going on. Like if somebody says, don't go in there, they'll know he's about to go into something. I should be scared. And then when the music swells, they're like, I know what this is about. A guy went into a thing. Be weird to reconstruct a movie.
You don't think they don't just sit real close to the screen and feel it?
Feel it? You do develop the ability to sense very subtle variations in temperature caused by a different colored light being projected onto a surface. So if you had long enough arms, mm-hmm. if yeah. Dalsim yeah. was blind yes. and very fast, he would be able to sort of scan the screen over and over again.
Maybe he is,
and then he could describe it to the rest of the to the rest of the.
He's definitely pretty fast.
They all catch everybody fire. Else would catch fire. Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, video games, movies.
Yeah, we were just talking about Dalsim.
I figured out a way to not talk about video games that also involve talking about video games.
Yeah.
Aren't you so proud of me?
I think that's fine. I think, you know, it's fine to bring things back. It's just, you know, don't talk about what video games you've been playing until we get to the part where we talk about the video games that we've been playing.
It's vital.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Our schedule.
You know, like the fact that we think about video games all the time is okay. I think that's quite all right.
You say it's not that hard, but it's pretty hard.
It's not that hard.
Nothing ever happens to me except video games. We had a oh man, we put on a concert. The mini bosses played video games music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there was also some Black Carl and some MC Frontalot.
There was Black Carl that didn't sing about video games.
Exactly.
And MC Frontalot who kind of sometimes sings about video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old MC Frontalot.
We had an awesome casino night. We played a bunch of board games. This past weekend.
Sort of. I did not play a bunch of board games.
Yeah, me neither, but I had a lot of fun playing poker at the casino night.
Yeah, I learned how to play craps incorrectly very, very well.
Yeah, there was a girl sitting next to us who was getting extremely angry at Dave because he was just, his goal was to make the worst possible bets. And I think he learned how to play craps from watching, and then he was like, all right, what's the worst bet? And just kept betting the maximum amount of chips on the worst bet and kept winning, and she was getting so frustrated.
I mean, isn't the worst bet to split all of your money up among all the different numbers or something? Like,
well, I think Frontalot's bets were much, much worse than mine.
And he didn't win
and
as
he
much.
He lost all of his money. So I think that I was at the happy medium where I should have been losing my money, but instead I was just reveling in the fact that I could act like an idiot and upset this poor woman who was stuck next to us.
Always bet on four. That's what Wesley Snipes said in Passenger 4. Always bet on four.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Verily, good Sir Riff. What hast thou played?
I just got off the computer. I've been playing a little of the new Minecraft, the Minecraft 1.8 update.
How you feeling about that?
Pretty good, actually. I mean, when I first started out, just the stuff up on the surface is, you know, the lighting's prettier and so on, but it doesn't seem... Yeah, a little bit. He made it so that moonlight is blue and torchlight is kind of reddish.
Okay.
Huh. So it looks nice, and when there's like a sunrise or sunset, it transitions really smoothly. But I mean, it's nice, but it wasn't spectacular. But then I found,
wait, was it specular? I don't actually know anything.
So
about
it. Little bing, little flashes on.
Yeah, did it put a speculum inside? Yeah, inside your OBGYN.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and. I found one of the new abandoned mine shafts, and I've been exploring it, and it is cool as hell.
Yeah,
what's interesting about it?
Well, it's for a start, and I don't know if this was on purpose or if it happened to generate several of them that were large enough and close enough together that they crossed
they
each
intersected.
Other. Yeah, but it's massive.
Does it already have like track laid and stuff?
Yeah, you'll nice. Find like sections of track, and there's like wooden support pillars that block your line of sight so that you have to like go past a pillar to see if there's like an intersection in the tunnel, and you're having to look around really carefully.
Are they dark?
Yeah, every now and then there's a torch, but they're naturally dark, just like a regular underground cavern.
So he hasn't made non-persistent torches yet.
No.
Interesting.
And
no, that's coming out Halloween of last year.
Yeah, but there's spawning boxes for the new breed of spider, which is It's one by one. It's a smaller spider, and it's blue, and it poisons you.
Oh,
and you know when they're nearby because suddenly there's an assload of spider webs everywhere. Whoa. Which, like, really slow you down if you get caught in them.
Can you clip them and put them up in your shit?
No, you can cut them, and they turn into string.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. Uh-huh.
That's very
nice. And there are chests here and there, sometimes with diamonds in them. I don't know if this just happened to be luck or if this is a feature, but just exploring the one I've run into three of the old school dungeons, just the cobblestone boxes.
You found a stronghold yet?
No, I've not found a stronghold. Seeing what the abandoned mine is like makes me really excited to see a stronghold.
I was very not excited once. Like, it seemed like the same thing happened with this that happened with the Halloween update. It was like, we changed our mind about most of the things that you were interested in about this update, and that's coming later. And then, like, it just makes me believe that... So now they've got NPC towns, mm-hmm. but I don't think they
run into a village. It was
started
cool.
on the NPCs. What?
I don't know how far said that the NPCs are definitely going to be in 1.9.
I wish,
I don't know how far away 1.9 is. I think they've said it will at least be out at or before MineCon. Which
you gonna
is
go to
in
MineCon?
Like 2 months now.
Where is it happening?
It's in Vegas. We could just drive there.
I don't exactly understand what one would do there.
Drink beer.
Yeah.
Fuck fat girls.
Yeah.
Same thing as any other con.
It's just like every other con everywhere.
We had talked about having a video games hot dog Minecraft server once we got to 1.8, but I think we were talking about once it was like with NPCs, right? Like,
yeah.
So we're waiting till 1.9?
We're going to wait till 1.9.
Keep also changing the... I haven't seen what happens if you take an old map and run the new engine on it and run around, like what the transitions look like and stuff. I mean, I downloaded the pre-release of 1.8 and ran around a little bit, and it just didn't seem to do much of anything.
The vines were cool.
Yeah, the swamps are neat. Yeah. The strangest thing for me was that I couldn't use the texture pack that I'm used to. I had to use the default textures, so everything looked kind of weird to me.
Yeah, I don't... I think I'm against... texture pack mods.
Yeah, me too.
Personally.
I love my textures.
I don't use them normally, but there's sometimes when like I'll download something that somebody else has made with a specific texture pack.
I really like the Painterly pack because it has a lot of options. Their website lets you all right, what kind of red flower do you want? And it gives you like a dozen choices and you click the radio button and when you're done with all of them, it loads it all up into a zip file for you.
Huh.
That's really cool.
I really wish that they would stop announcing big lists of features for these patches.
We had
right?
been talking about this the other day, because at least from my point of view, it always seems that whenever they make an announcement, all of my friends stop playing until the release of the new thing. Like, there are just so many times that I'm on that server where it's like, you know, it's just me for 3 days at a stretch, and I'll go and I'll ask why no one's playing. And it's like, oh, didn't you hear there's going to be a great new big thing, and we're waiting until that comes out.
In the Halloween patch, like, I was really looking forward to that because, Nether, fast travel around our giant-ass multiplayer map. And then it came out, and it was like, oh, yeah, sorry, no Nether in multiplayer.
Yeah.
I was like, well, fuck. Now this is just like a disappointment. Oh, pumpkins. Okay, cool. And that was it. That was all that update consisted of, right? Because he changed his mind about the lanterns. Or whatever, which, you know, makes a lot of sense, right? It, like, he's suddenly subject to the whims of millions of people who are playing this and are going to be pissed if all their torches are useless.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm excited about the future of it, but it's like, I wish that I could just forget. Like, I wish I could take a pill that would make me not know anything about Minecraft and then come back to it in a year and play it and enjoy it and then take another pill that would make me not know anything about it for another year and then discover it again.
There is a stated reason why they went to huge packs instead of small incremental releases, but unfortunately I don't remember what the claim was.
I personally would be a lot more excited about, you know, I would probably play a lot more if there were these like little incremental releases, like his secret Friday updates or whatever that he did. You know, I know in Kingdom of Loathing, when we were doing like regular Tuesday updates, no matter how minor they were, it really kept people interested. But it was just like, it was a lot more work than it seemed like it would be.
Because we felt like we were forced to come up with something every Tuesday.
Right. And we didn't usually go a week without coming up with something, but we didn't necessarily come up with something bite-sized.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. That's it.
I played a couple of, other than that, I played a couple of iPad point-and-click adventures. One, which is called either 1112 or 1112. I don't know what the intention is. Episode 3, which is...
11123?
Yeah.
Is that itself a puzzle?
Not that I'm aware of. But it's really beautiful. It's got good production values. The art's really sweet, and the interface elements move really nicely. The story is pretty interesting. I don't remember how, like, I can't recommend that you start playing it at episode 3, because the story is ongoing and you kind of have to play the first two first, but the first two weren't as good. So I don't know, it would take you a little while to get up to the bit where it started getting good.
You were talking about in one of the early episodes just having to solve a bunch of Sudokus.
Yeah, the second one had, there was like a... the guy in the hotel or whatever wouldn't talk to you unless you solved his Sudoku for him, and you had to do it 3 times, and it got harder every time, and nobody wants to solve an entire goddamn Sudoku, let alone 3 of them.
I think a lot of people want to solve an entire Sudoku.
Yeah, well, not in the middle of your point-and-click adventure.
So, but on an iOS, isn't it just a point adventure?
Well, yeah, point and tap, I guess. look and point. But it's a really the story is shaping up pretty interesting. It's like David Lynchian, but a bit more overtly spooky.
Is your quest log actually a log?
No. The other
is that gum you liked going to come out in style?
Oh my god! If only. The other one I've been playing is Hector: Badge of Carnage, which is published by Telltale, and it's up to episode 2, and it is sort of a British police procedural, except the policeman character is a fat, drunken lout, okay. And there's a lot of swearing. There's a lot of swearing and whoring and crude humor, and so it's pretty funny. It's well done.
Does it have boobs?
There are boobs. I mean, not... I haven't seen any nipple, but there are some boobs. Some of them are... not very nice boobs.
That was one thing about the Conan movie. Apparently, the ladies in Hyboria did not wear shirts in casual settings. Yeah, So a lot of bar scenes where it was just like, all right, so there's like 30 dudes and 30 ladies, and none of the ladies are wearing shirts.
Huh.
It's kind of gratuitous. It's kind of distracted me from looking at that Dreamboat Jason Momoa. Man, you know what would be good?
Huh.
A sequel to the Conan the Barbarian movie, except Bombata... played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson instead of Wilt Chamberlain.
Huh.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the Wilt Chamberlain of the 2010s. That's what I've determined.
Who are we going to get to replace Grace Jones?
Oh, man, I don't know. Zoe Saldana.
No, yeah, sure, I could see that. Yeah,
there you go.
If it's all boobs, though, it could be Conan the Mammarian.
That was a pretty good joke. What about you, Dave? What have you been playing?
Unfortunately, my laptop, the laptop I brought out here with me, has not been able to handle the Minecraft update. So I've been bouncing back and forth between Isotropic's Dominion, online Dominion game, and Robotech, which is a T-E-K, not T-E-C-H, a
and
game.
Also all one word.
I downloaded it. Did I get the right one? Is it the one that's...
R-O-B-O-T-E-K-H-D.
No, but... you know,
it's like a slot machine. The game is that you're like...
I'm glad that you were able to identify this gesture.
I had the same problem. Yeah. I was showing
terrible hand job.
I was showing it to Kevin last night, and I was like, yeah, it's got one of those, and I did the same sort of hand gesture, and it threw him for a loop for a couple of seconds, too. He was like a rolling thing, a gambling, a one-armed bandit slot machine.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're one of the last human beings trying to wrest control of the world away from the robots.
How does the slot machine actually enter into it? Like, so, what kind of game is it? It's like a turn-based combat?
A turn-based strategy game. You have 3 different sets of slots wheels. The first one And each one of those sets has three different outcomes.
Okay.
So you've got three wheels rolling. So the first one is that you're like basically summoning robots. You're making robots. And there are three different kinds of robots that you can make on those three slot wheels. If you double up or triple up, you get a stronger version of that robot. And there's experience gain. So as they are killing robots, they themselves are getting stronger. The three different kinds, there's like a tank one, there's, you know, who can take a lot of damage. There's a high offense one. And then there's a little piddly one that can shoot a bunch of missiles. The second set of slot wheels, goes between
defensive things.
It's a little bit defensive. So you can put up a shield. And if you get more than one of the shield things, it makes the shield stronger. You can hack your opponent's robots and possibly steal them away from them. And then the third one is that you increase your robot's attack power and lower your opponent's. And then the third set of wheels are mostly offense, and it's like a gigantic laser, a shocking attack that will incapacitate the opponent's robots, and it's called a microwave burst, which is like an area of effects.
Do you have any influence over what's
You have a lot of influence over what that first wheel is. You can basically stop that first wheel on the symbol that you want, but then the next two are more randomized. So you do have a choice, but there is still a little bit of luck thrown in on top of it. Oh, and there's an additional thing. If you ever get three of a kind, you get an extra turn.
You get all the benefit and an extra turn.
It's really interesting. It's kept my attention for quite some time.
Is the computer also rolling slot machine wheels?
Yeah.
Or does
yes,
it just
they
have...
And it's got...
Just get three of a kind every time?
No, also, like the math... A friend of mine had looked more into the math, but it's hardwired into the system that the computer can never get more than two threes of a kind in a row. And I don't think that that limit exists on the players. I know that I'm pretty sure that I've gotten like at least three of a kind.
So nine of a kind.
Nine of a kind.
In a row.
And then I got a full house.
Robotech.
Robotech.
Is it like free with microtransactions, you were saying?
So it's a free game, but then you have the ability to... so there's like an upgrade system where as you're beating more opponents and taking over more of the world, you're getting these coins. You can use the coins to raise up a bunch of skills, and you can, for a cash donation, I'm sure of some kind, you can get a bunch of those coins so that you can upgrade. And then that unlocks a couple of like special areas on the map that you're like, so normally with the free version, you can still beat the game, but you can beat the game more easily, I guess, by chucking them a couple bucks.
I think I would rather just pay $5 for that game and not have that thing be a like, oh, pay $2 to not level up for an hour. Pay $2 to not
level up. The leveling up hasn't seemed to be a problem for me. Like it happens.
You're finding it fun without giving them money.
Yeah.
The art style is really nice. It's like a Tron-y Patapon.
Yeah, it looked Patapon-y.
Yeah,
Pataponian.
Well, I know what you've been playing, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you anyway. What have you been playing, Kevin?
Diablo 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing but Diablo 3.
Me too, buddy, me too.
It's been pretty fun. I was not into it at the beginning.
I remember after the first night of you playing, you were not so stoked.
Yeah, a couple of issues. I hadn't played any Diablo games in years. And the most recent sort of Blizzard game that I'd really, really been into was World of Warcraft. And so having a single character that I was moving around a map, I desperately wanted to use WASD. And so I kept trying to move him around with WASD, and the click-to-move thing was kind of driving me crazy. and so that was sort of my first, like, sort of mental hurdle. And so I've sort of gotten over that. And
so
I
it's
also,
only click-to-move?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like Diablo.
Yeah, because that always... Man, because the problem I had with that was trying to do a ranged attack character.
Well, you hold down shift.
And okay.
Then
and then you stay in place.
Yeah, yeah. Clicking just shoots. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that was always the problem I had was, oh my God, shoot that guy. No, 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 run over there.
Yeah, yeah. So you shift, you hold on shift to attack from a distance, or you have something targeted when you click on something and it will do it from a distance if you're a ranged character. Yeah, so I played the Barbarian, wasn't super into it. I started playing the Magician, the Wizard, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, but I'm almost positive that Zach will be playing this guy, so I should pick something else.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You figured I would be the wizard.
Yeah, because you like wizards, and there were skeletons in there, so I figured you would probably kill a skeleton with a wizard.
Yeah, but if I kill a skeleton, I want a sword, and a wizard can't use it. Wizard
doesn't get the sweet sword.
I think
sword.
You can use a sword as a wizard.
I was like barbarian all the way. Like, what class did you play in Diablo 2? What was your main
character? I don't remember.
Character?
I honestly don't
remember. Seriously?
Yep. I had a necromancer that I played for a long time, but then I think my computer couldn't handle all the skeletons, and so I switched to something else. Maybe the druid.
Did the assassin.
Was it a druid? Was a druid a class?
There was a druid. Yeah.
Because you like,
druid
summon
and the
raven
is what they added the summoner, in Lord of
Chaos. I played a ton of druid.
When I used to play Diablo 2, we would always have like a huge LAN party in one of the university computer labs. But we would all like we decide, all right, this week we're gonna play through and let's all pick, you know, barbarians.
Oh, so you would make new dudes every time.
Yeah.
I played the only character that I've beat, the I keep calling it a demo because it's a fucking demo. This is not a beta test. It is just a demo.
I have found some bugs, so I think it's also a beta.
It's a buggy demo.
Okay.
Did you find the buggy?
I did not find the buggy.
Yeah, it's cool. You go and
buggy whip.
Yeah, you find the factory where they make the whips. The buggy's made of skulls. You can destroy a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's
that was surprising.
A lot of destructible scenery.
What was the companion thing you were talking about too?
So there's a scroll of companion, which is you just get like a little snake that wanders around near you and picks
up
coins.
Gold.
Are there other kinds, or is that?
I've only ever gotten one scroll.
Is there a dog that you can send back to town to sell your shit for
you?
You very quickly get a box
that lets you sell things from your inventory.
Yeah. Okay.
And then another one that lets you disenchant things from your... So you can either convert things to gold or you can convert them to parts that you use for crafting. The crafting seems pretty cool.
I have a manual, but I have not talked anybody to train.
Yeah, the manuals open up new recipes, which are just like so far all I've found is like you get like a recipe that is like... This will give you a pair of bracers that is low level and has this enchantment plus one other random enchantment on it. And so you just keep making them.
Do the crafting parts fill up your inventory?
They
take up spots, but they do fill it
pretty
do
well. Inventory doesn't seem to be nearly as limited because no item is ever any... You have the same, like, I think the same size inventory as in Diablo 2, but nothing is bigger than 1x2.
So far.
Every piece of gear is 1x2 or 1x1.
You have a common storage area.
It's kind of good, but it's also kind of a shame. I always thought the Tetris was pretty
interesting. I really liked that when I saw it in Diablo 1. Like, that was sort of the first time I encountered that, and it was neat. But it's also like, fuck, which of these things, like, do I throw, which of these things do I drop on the ground? It wouldn't, I think, be as big of a deal with being able to just auto-sell things from your inventory. But it's also unnecessary, right? Like, it's not that...
You have a common storage area between all your characters?
Yeah. Your stash is shared across characters. Your crafting skills are apparently shared across characters.
Huh.
Things like your journal. So some of the issues that I've had is, so your journal is like a collection of all the like little diary entries that you find and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is unique per character, at least right now. And the diary entries that you find, the little journals and stuff that you find, just seem to be kind of random. I have one character where I found like 10 in the first... like half of the playable section, and one character where I've looked really hard and found like 3. there's a lot of randomness there, and I guess you can keep replaying it and get them all the time.
I assumed that those things were in fixed locations because like over the course of like a single floor of the cathedral, I found page 1 and then page 2 and then page 3 of like somebody's journal.
I went to an entire cathedral where there was only one pulpit.
There's like a lectern.
Lectern.
It is sort of difficult to tell which things are interactable and which things
aren't.
Yeah, a lot
of mousing
like
over
really,
stuff.
I really wish that
everything
so
had a glow
I'm torn,
to it.
Because in a way, I want there to be little hidden secret things that you're like, hey, there's one of those, and I know, I recognize that from finding it before. But part of me also wants you to be able to just hit a key to highlight everything that you can click on.
Was it one of the old Diablos had tab, like you could tab through to highlight stuff?
You could hold down Alt and it would show you all the items. Like it would pop up nameplates for all the items on the ground, which was great. This does that by default. They're there for a few seconds and then they go away. But then if you hit Alt once, it'll pop them back up. And you can also make it so they stay forever. But it doesn't work for like a bookshelf. And there are a lot of frustrating things where like, there'll be a thing that looks exactly like an interactable bookshelf, but it's not an interactable
bookshelf.
There's
like books on desks, which sometimes you can click on and sometimes you can't.
I was
going
to say, that seems like just the sort of thing that you would just get used to which of these objects are and aren't.
Yeah,
but if there are identical ones that aren't.
And I mean, I get them not wanting to make everything clickable, right? another thing that I keep finding is, like, you click on a lot of bookshelves and just nothing happens. Yep. You don't get anything out of them.
Yep. You pull the books down and they just disappear on the ground. There's a lot of bookshelves. Vandalism. There's a lot of bookshelves where apparently where people were filing potions.
Potions. Yeah. This is a book about a potion.
There are some other interesting things. So there's a bunch of like little mini dungeons scattered around, and they are in random locations and random quantities. Mm-hmm. So like I've played four different character classes at this point through a significant portion of the sort of beta the demo. and while the sort of overall structures of the maps are similar, pretty much anything underground is different. So like the cathedral is like hugely different each time. And then there's like lots of tiny little dungeons which are like cellars and basements and caves and stuff like that.
Crypts. I've not found a single cave.
In the wells.
Oh.
Under the caves or under the wells.
Huh.
And so in those they have like different scenarios kind of that are going on. So like sometimes there's like monsters that have like looted a bunch of stuff and are sort of sitting there with a bunch of treasure on them. Sometimes there's they've got these treasure gypsies or
treasure mammal.
Treasure nymphs. treasure fairies or whatever, and so they are going around looting treasure chests. They move real fast, and as you hit them they drop gold, and if they finish looting everything they will make a portal and try to teleport out. And if you can kill them beforehand then they just drop a bunch of stuff.
It would be really horrible to like be born and then one day you realize you're just a pinata.
I found one place where you can start an event. There's like an object on the ground and you click on it and it says, do you want to start this event? And I was like, sure. And it was just like wave after wave after wave of zombies, skeletons, attacking. It's like probably 150 skeletons.
Did you hit them with a sword?
I was shooting them with my, I was a demon hunter, so I was shooting them with my bow.
Lame.
It was a lot of fun, actually. I had this awesome attack where you shoot arrows out and it like hits one dude and it zips to, like it changes direction, hits another dude. Sometimes you will shoot through a dude, the arrow will turn around, come through it again, turn around and go through the same guy one more time. I was like, yeah.
I played all the way through it and beat the existing content as a barbarian. Yep. And then I started a witch doctor. Although I did a female one, so it's a witch nurse. didn't get as far with that one. I also played a wizard.
Yeah.
A little bit. I was bored with the wizard.
I'm not enjoying the melee as much as I am enjoying the range classes.
See,
I think the wizard and the demon hunter are going to be my classes. So the demon hunter has a lot of really cool abilities. I read through the wizard abilities and they sound much
What's
more
the one
interesting.
That we haven't played? Monk, I guess. Yeah. I like melee in a Diablo game.
Me too. I love just wading in there and smashing dudes.
The witch doctor I got partly, like I got probably 2/3 of the way through the available content. And I'm pretty sure that I took damage like twice. And it just makes it less... Like, I didn't do any melee. I was just like hanging back, blowing blowgun darts.
Their whole melee class. Ooga.
Sort of. Yeah, fucking ooga booga. Every once in a while, you do a fucking attack as the witch doctor, and the witch doctor goes, ooga booga. It's like, seriously, you guys, like...
We've been
to Blizzard twice. Did you see any black people there? Do any black people work at Blizzard? Because it seems like if any black people worked at Blizzard, at some point they would have stopped that.
I didn't, but I don't know. Maybe there's almost definitely got to be some...
Yeah, no, I'm mostly kidding. Because
there's
I'm
a lot
sure
of Asians that work there.
Oh, right, yeah.
They've got a Chinese guy in blackface, so it's
all... Oh, okay, that's okay then. He said it was okay.
What else was cool about it? I mean, there's a bunch of neat things going on. It looks cool. The complaints that it looked too much like World of Warcraft, I didn't understand at all.
What was it you guys were saying about the skill system?
Oh, yeah.
I was very confused.
It is a little confusing right now. I think they're probably going to polish that before release. Yeah.
The way that it works is that every time you level, you get a new skill.
At least for the first...
For the first 10
Actually,
or so.
No. I think it's every level up to 30. I think you get a new skill every level. There are 30 different skills per class.
But to begin with, you have 2 active skill slots, and that's it.
So you have to pick 2 of your...
You have to pick 2, and in the beginning you have to pick 2 of 2 skills, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can set them to, you can set a skill to right mouse button, a skill to left mouse button, and then a hotkey. And sure, like a set of 5 hotkeys. One of which defaults to potion, one of which often defaults to a support ability if your class has one. Mm-hmm. So like the barbarian has like regular attack, some sort of rage generating attack. Like they have like a rage bar that fills up fury. And then like a shout that is an AOE defense debuff or something, or attack debuff, that's mapped to a hotkey. Mm-hmm. And everybody starts with a healing potion on hotkey 5. I don't know if there are sets of those that you can switch between.
I don't remember
how you switched abilities in Diablo 2.
Yeah, I don't either.
I know that you tended to not use more than you used a couple of abilities and you didn't really switch that often. I remember F keys being involved.
I remember you had, I think it showed you the two icons on your screen of your left and right mouse button.
Did you say left nut?
And you could right-click those icons to pop up a menu of all the icons of whatever skills you had.
Right. Including, like, Town Portal. Like, wasn't that how you... Yeah. I guess... No, I was in Diablo 1. Diablo 2 had the belt where you got the slots for potions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Potions have a cooldown in Diablo 3, and it is a pretty significant cooldown. They didn't. Potions did not have a cooldown in Diablo 2. You could just, click, 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 click.
I remember reading that dudes drop like health and MP orbs or something. Yeah,
only health. I've never seen an MP orb drop.
There are passive skills that will give you MP back when you collect a health orb.
Oh, okay. I have also not ever found, and maybe this is only at low levels, but I've never found in any of the classes that use MP that MP is even a little bit scarce. It regenerates super fast.
So the demon hunter's sort of main MP skill, I'd run it down. I'm the mage that I played in the witch doctor, and I never had that problem.
Yeah, I mean, because I think they just want you, like, your basic attack is like a fucking fireball or whatever, like, because that's cool. So the mage has skills that as you level up use less and less mana
to the point where they get to zero,
which is interesting. Like they eventually are just free or one.
Do the skills seem like they have any kind of like combo-iness, like any kind of overlap?
Oh, there's a ton. Okay. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something I've never.
The Demon Hunter has a lot of like traps and stuff like that. So like stuff that will slow or stun enemies, and then there's a bunch of skills later on that do a lot more damage to slow it or stun enemies. Cool. The Demon Hunter is the first skill that I've seen that's like party play, where you get to mark enemies, and then those enemies take 20% extra damage from all sources for a minute or whatever. So like it seems like they're the hunter class from World of Warcraft that's like marking an enemy, and then everybody attacks that guy, and they just go down faster.
And the witch nurse is the racist. See, they made it racist, but I made it sexist.
The monk, I think the monk has healing abilities. Is that right? So I, I think there might be some more like sort of group play mechanics than before.
I mean, the paladin had a lot of auras that
would heal.
Like, yeah, I feel like the paladin was largely a support class.
Yeah,
in Diablo 2, right.
I'm excited about like leveling these guys up. The skills seem pretty cool. The characters only get to 30 though, I think.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they've just got like a reasonable level cap there. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can put those runes. I haven't found one yet. Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing that you like maybe get some from a boss or whatever to stop you from like being completely subject to the whims of the random number generator, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, cuz it's this like the first half of the first act is the only thing that's available in this beta. The skill stuff, though, is just it. Like, so you get to level 2, and it says new skill available, like shock blast or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. I want to set that to one of my abilities instead of this shitty wand, pew, pew, pew. So I right-click the thing, and I'm just like, huh, there's nothing there. There's nothing new in the list of things that I can set this thing to. So I go to my skills, and it just is like, new active skill slot unlocks at level 6. And here's the two skills that it shows are the two that I have. My one support skill that's mapped to F1 and the regular, like the magic missile skill. And I'm like, huh, well, maybe those skills just aren't implemented in the beta. So then I beat the game without ever using anything other than the starting skills, because I didn't realize until the second character that you have to click on the name of the skill in your skill list, and then you can replace it with any of the skills that you know. But you just have this like palette of active skills that are then, once you've selected them, allowed to be mapped onto a button or a key.
It does seem like a strange intermediary step, but I wonder if there's a reason for it.
No? Yeah, I didn't understand it to begin with, because I did not realize. My impression was that you could only map the right mouse button, the left mouse button, and one of the hotkeys.
Okay.
Right, and it... you don't ever get more than four or five of those abilities, and so I'm curious as to why they
four or five of which
abilities at a time. You can never get to the point where
six slots. Yeah.
Some of them are passive though.
No, the three passive slots are below.
Oh yeah, you get six
active slots, three passive slots.
But that is still exactly as many interface slots as there are minus one for potions. So. This is what I imagined that the way that this worked was that when you started the game, you were allowed to map something to left mouse button, you were allowed to map something to right mouse button, and you were allowed to map something to the F1,
right,
or the first hotkey, and that the others just weren't there until you unlocked them as you leveled up. And I feel like if they did it that way, you could just right click on that, and then it could give you a list of all of your skills,
yeah.
And then it would you're not ever able to use more than one of these at a time. Or more than X at a time because you don't have that many hotkeys available.
Mm-hmm.
The skill interface is going to allow you to put those runes in there, which is pretty significant, right? Like,
what are those?
The runes
just like skill augmentation.
They change the way. Like every skill is five skills or six because it's got its basic version and then it's got the version of it that is what it does when it's socketed with a given rune.
Okay. What are the runes like? Poison, like before
they're,
like the gems.
They're
before?
They're thematically. I don't remember what, but
I have no idea.
It sometimes they released some videos that were it pretty dramatically changes the way some of the skills work. Like it'll take a skill that is a projectile and turn it into like an area like a close burst
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like there's a lot of like serious changes. And here's what I don't know. If you on that skill page, if you drop a rune into the skill in your number one slot and then you change which skill is in your number one slot, does it have that rune
I don't know.
Stay on it, or does the rune yeah. with the skill or yeah. what?
Can you unbind a rune? Yeah.
It was surprising to me that interface is so counterintuitive.
It's unusual. I think they're probably going to tweak it because it right now it's not clear what to do.
I read in the patch notes significantly improved the skills interface, but then when I got in there I was like, oh, that was from a patch that came out before I started playing, so I'm like, fuck, how bad was it before that like this is a significant improvement?
Yeah
that's also all I've been playing. It's fun. It's gonna be awesome.
I think it's gonna be fun.
They're gonna apparently let us play with the auction house a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm curious, a lot of what I feel like is being overlooked and people yelling on the internet about this real money transaction auction house thing is my impression from the announcement was that there weren't two auction houses. There wasn't like a money auction house and a gold auction house.
Hmm.
It's just that when you put something in the auction house, you could put a gold and a real money price on it.
Huh.
So I
had heard separate auction houses, but that's also possible.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely talking about it as a gold auction house.
Yeah, what they're saying, what they're going to make available in the beta is just a gold. I mean, they're not going to let people spend money on the beta, I wouldn't imagine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or
they just give everybody
that would
fake
be
money.
Silly.
Well.
You seem to have encountered a lot more of the like kind of interesting set piece kind of things than I did.
I'm super thorough when I play too.
Okay, sure. That's it.
I fully explored every map, and I went back several times with a single character.
Jumping over the mountain range.
I thought that I thoroughly explored every map on the run where I beat it, but all of the basements I found just kind of didn't have anything in them, which was disappointing.
Like no glowing monsters, no purple monsters,
no bosses, no chests. No, just it's just like, huh. Oh, this is the boring dungeon. This is just like somebody's basement.
I got one legendary...
Oh, look at how old these newspapers are. That was the only interesting thing that happened down there.
I got one legendary drop, which I could have sworn came out of like a stationary set piece thing, but then that set piece has never been there again, so I don't know.
Yeah, I only looked for it on a second character and didn't find it.
Yeah,
so
I don't know
if it's like randomly when you go back to Old Tristram, there's a crazy anvil that you can...
Click
oh,
on.
Underneath the anvil, there's a sweet sword.
Yeah.
Anvil is made out of skeletons.
Could
Would
be.
Not buy again.
Could be.
I mean, iron is in a lot of ways the skeleton of the earth.
That's true.
Deep.
That's what we've been playing. Kevin, what's a world?
Peas mostly.
Hey, here's a piece of news that I was excited about that I read on Metafilter during one of my smoke breaks.
Ooh, ooh.
A new version of Urquan Masters has just been released, which some more bug fixes and stuff. It's really nothing interesting.
Yeah.
If you didn't already play the Urquan Masters, go get it now because it's even newer. 0.7. I don't know when they think it's going to be done.
Back once again, with the Urquhart Masters.
I mean, they're not
heard about this.
They're not
so excited.
They're not making it better than the original. They're just trying to bring it back to the original.
Yeah.
Level of
there are some back end cleanups. Which speaking of which, I could use some of that myself.
After all those beans you've been eating.
Yeah. What else you got? PS Vita's release date.
Yeah. So I guess they're releasing it before it's Christmas.
26 titties.
Yeah, there's a 26 I think it says initial
turtles, 26 titties.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, they're releasing it before Christmas in Japan.
Japan. Kevin, I think you mean Japan. You racist.
Yeah,
I've heard that the battery life is 3 to 4 hours, just like the 3DS.
Yeah, I have no idea. Some of the titles include the camera app and the calendar. So I think they're trying to push the promotion a little bit far, but who knows? I mean, it could be cool, right?
I mean, it can't be much worse than the DS, 3DS.
DS had 8 titles on launch, yeah. So.
Well, what you were saying before, Riff, about how the 3DS had been doing some sort of backwards compatible cleanup. When the sales weren't high and they were putting
the ambassador program.
They gave everybody a bunch of free games. I actually forgot that I've also been playing a bunch of Zelda 1.
Speaking of free games and Zelda, actually, they announced that they're going to put on the 3DS eShop for free the Zelda Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures, which I guess is like the multiplayer Zelda.
Right.
And it's got a 4-player wireless co-op, and they're installing a single-player campaign, and that's going on the eShop for free at, September 28th, and I guess it'll be there for free for...
2 months?
Two or three months, and then you'll have to pay for it.
That's cool.
But yeah, it still sounds pretty cool.
You know, that's an interesting idea, like release stuff... for limited time only, and if you want it, you need to get a DS now.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's what their strategy is to try to get people excited about getting a 3DS now so they don't have to pay for stuff.
Especially
later.
A multiplayer game.
Yeah.
I wish that there was a 2-player co-op Zelda campaign.
I think there are 2-player levels, but
one person plays Link and then the other person plays the princess and just has to wait in the castle.
Sits in a room.
Yeah.
Another player plays Zal until he gets hit, and then you need a third player so that you can both play gels. Same with Vire and Keys.
Yeah, so then and we were talking about Diablo 3. They've released the skill calculator, so you can go and you can, you know, like do whatever kind of character build you want to do and see what you're
and then geek out and then look at it for a while.
There's like no build. There are no choices to make other than which skills you're using at the moment.
Well,
right,
sure,
and what runes to socket in them.
Yeah, but I mean, how is that not a build? Right, like
because you're not building anything.
You are choosing which of the skills you want to be active and which passive skills you want to have equipped. And
I mean, it's just you. It's just that you don't have to spend anything or do anything.
Yeah, it's
difficult
not like a choice that you're
to
making.
It is a bunch of choices that you're making.
Okay, but that's like saying picking whether you go left or right down a hallway is a build. Right, because just go back and go right after you've gone left,
you're
and
not,
that's exactly
you're,
what the
but
choices.
But you're not
going to
keep changing your character. You're going to find something that works, and that's going to be your build. Like you're not going to. Yeah, I don't. I think you're being nitpicky here.
You could always change.
So it's like, I mean, just because there was a gold cost associated with it, it made a build in World of Warcraft real.
Okay, then
I don't understand.
It is weird to me that you don't understand the fundamental difference in the two ways that these things work and not understand my objection to using the same
word for both of them.
The talent trees in World of Warcraft, you can reset them, but you cannot just arbitrarily switch between them in the middle of a fight.
Okay.
If you want to.
Yeah, if you tried to do this in the middle of a fight, I think you would be wasting a bunch of time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And maybe when you've actually got aggro from monsters, you can't change it. I've never even tried.
We're going to have to agree to disagree about whether whether we can even use the same nomenclature to describe the things that are going on in these two games, because I think it's pretty clear that we can't and that you're wrong.
We'll see. Yeah, that's basically all the video game news.
Because, I mean, Diablo 2 had the pretty, you know, and it was pretty serious at the time. Good old Stig Hedlund came in and he was like, this is how we make this sticky from the start. That was the name of a talk that I saw Steve Hedlund give about
Stig. Are you sure that wasn't the name of a porn movie you watched?
Yes. Yeah. It was a sequel. So, sorry, we're still sticky from the last one. No, it was a talk by Stig Hedlund about how they had him sweep in at the last moment and make Diablo 2 awesome. And he came in and he was like, listen to me, Bill Roper. I'm going to tell you a thing or two about making shit awesome. Stig Hedlund rules. He's such a nice dude. He's like the nicest Viking.
He's got very soft horns.
Velvet.
Talent trees.
You could never respec. Like, that was a build, right? That was a character build.
Terrible choice. And he was like, this is a bad idea.
It wasn't a terrible choice. Like, it was...
He said, if I had it to do over again, I would clearly change this.
But I mean, if I had it to do over again, knowing what I now know as a result of an entire industry working on things and refining things for 10 years, yep. I would do it differently. But what he did, the things that he did there were an important stepping stone in figuring out, like, what people enjoy.
Yep.
Right? Like, it's, I mean, you can't ever, like, somebody who...
Somebody who gimps their character will never forgive you for making a system that works this way.
Which is why World of Warcraft doesn't let you assign any stat points. I bet they did, to start with. I bet the early builds of World of Warcraft, I'll bet when you leveled up, you got a fixed number of points to distribute between all of your stats. And they realized that people were going to reject that, and so they changed it before release. You know, because there were a ton of things that they clearly changed before that came out. But like EverQuest, you could totally gimp your character. And they would have liked to have thought, I think, that it's like, no, let people play. You know, if they want to play a stronger than average rogue, let them do that, right? By putting their points in strength instead of agility. But no, then it turns out that all that means is that in the final endgame raid encounters, if you don't have all of your points in agility, you're not going to be able to equip the only thing that lets your damage go high enough to actually win this in a group of people or whatever. And so they don't want to let people make that decision. I would not refer to it as a character build. I mean, would you say that in Super Mario Brothers, picking up a mushroom is a character build?
No.
Okay. Because you can pick up a mushroom. That's just what happens when you run into it is that you get bigger. Right. What happens when you get a bunch of experience in Diablo 2 is that you get another skill. And you don't have to use it. But, like, would you describe equipping your character with things as a character build?
No.
Okay. So skills are exactly the same as equipment in Diablo 3 in a way that they were totally not in Diablo 2.
Except that there's an interface where you set up your character build.
You mean like your inventory?
No, I mean like your...
There's an interface where you set up your character build, like what's in your left hand and what's in your right hand and what's on your wrist. It is identical. It is identical to gear. Except you can't sell it.
See, but I've played plenty of games, though, where the gear that you're choosing is an integral part of the build.
Yeah, I mean, that is D&D fundamentally is like true, that, too. Yeah, I mean, like the type of gear that you wear is part of your build, sure.
Okay.
The specific gear.
So then earlier when I said, is the gear part of your build? And you said, no, you meant yes.
You said, is the gear your build? Yes. And I was like, no, the gear by itself is not.
All right.
But, like, you know, in World of Warcraft with the different trees, it makes a lot of sense because you are like picking one of three ways to radically differentiate your character. And this one has this Diablo doesn't really have trees exactly, but it does have, you know, like the Demon Hunter is the one that I have the most experience with at this point. It definitely has very distinct ways of playing. Like you can be one that is like dramatically tactical in the way that he approaches combat, or one that is just like
styles of play. But yeah. I would argue that because there is no differentiation from character to character, you cannot say of any level 10 Demon Hunter that he is a particular kind of Demon Hunter relative to any other level 10 Demon Hunter, that the notion of a character build doesn't mean anything.
But I disagree. I mean, like, it depends on what they have socketed and what they use all the time, right? Like, that, you know, if one of them uses traps all the time to slow down enemies, then they're a trap hunter, and the other one just uses, like, the most, you know, most damaging AoE spells that he can.
But
then that's a then that's that like an AoE a, hunter that is like or something.
A difference in the player, not a difference. So like, what would you say that here? So, this is a priest that heals build. Versus this is a demon hunter that never opens any chests. Like, would you say that that's a build that differentiates that demon hunter from another demon hunter? Because all it is a choice that the player is making about what he's doing moment to moment. Some
sort of mechanical benefit or change the playstyle. You would argue, I don't think you could argue that a priest that was a healing priest versus a priest that was a shadow priest in World of Warcraft are not different builds.
I would not argue that because there is a difference between those two things. One of them has abilities that the other one does not.
They are both identical characters at level 70 or 80 or 85.
No, they are totally not. Because of them has skills that the other one does not have.
That with a single button they could change to the other
with
character.
With a trip back to town and a reset mechanic, they could change to the other way.
So the only difference is the 5 minutes that it takes to hearth and click on a button in World of Warcraft than the fact that you can do it on the fly in Diablo 3.
The only difference,
Kevin, we don't
is
even know.
A cost versus
we've
no
not even
cost.
Gotten to level 10 where the passive skills are. Maybe you can't choose. Maybe you are, those are permanent choices or something. We have no idea.
We don't know.
Right? Like, I'm just saying that, like, I think it is a build. It is just a much more flexible thing than other games. And
is there a difference just semantically between a build and a play style?
I don't know.
Okay.
Right?
Because, like, I mean, I think I use those words to mean very different things, and you don't. So that's why we're having this little foo-for-off.
I wanted to say foo-for-off. That, Mom and Dad, I hate it when I see you guys.
No, this is what this show is like. We yell at each other all the time. His girlfriend freaked out because we yelled at each other while we were moving a bunch of stuff, and she was like, oh, my God. No, it's fine.
This is how we'll talk.
We'll be fine in a minute.
Actually, like Diablo 3 a lot because I haven't heard any what the fucks whatsoever coming from your room all day.
That's true.
It's really weird.
No keys flying off the keyboard out into the hallway.
I figured that you weren't playing games today.
Well, he wasn't playing at PvP.
Yeah. There's no lava to fall into. There's It's not really PvE either.
So now news is also about Diablo 3. That's cool. Google acquired a bunch of patents from IBM.
Yeah.
Which I think was not so that they could do anything with them, but so they could use them defensively.
Yes.
Fuck the
world. So they bought Motorola's technology division. So they got like 17,000 patents from that like a week or two ago.
Mjolnir is the horse the world rides in a myth.
It would terrify me if I was not already a Google whore. Like, I've sold my soul to them so many times already. That
they just bought like over 1,000 patents from IBM. Wow. And all as far as like, you know, as far as anyone knows, it is to just bolster their like defensive position on the droid platform so that they can,
because that's just a fucking thing that you have to do now. If you want to do something cool, you have to make sure that some other company that does fucking nothing doesn't have some obscure, vaguely worded patent that will allow them to bully you into enough money that it shuts your shit down.
The U.S. Patent Office, I think, needs to be restructured because they are clearly granting patents that are just a little too nuts.
If you guys, listeners, want to get depressed, listen to the Radio Lab, the This American Life.
I don't remember.
Called When Patents Attack.
I think that's
it's just some stories.
I think it's This American Life.
I think it is also This American Life. Yeah. Because it's not science. It's not the science of patents with rapid volume changes. So it's not
So is that something that you noticed at all? The voiceover dialogue in Diablo 3 being all crazy different volumes?
No.
Oh my God, it is so bad.
Maybe you over-exercised your headphones.
No, I'm listening to speakers.
Oh, yeah. So you were listening to music with female singers at a medium volume, so it's possible that whenever your headphones detect that there's a male talking, it makes it louder.
So I was playing the game on the speakers that are in my room.
You didn't break those in?
I didn't. Jesus fucking Christ.
You hate us so much.
But what I did notice is fucking terrible voice acting, so I just started skipping through all of them.
Really? I didn't think it was that bad at all.
I did not like it.
Is Deckard Cain back?
Deckard Cain is back.
I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's the same. It
sounds very similar, at least. His daughter's in there. So like all the mainline like quest dialogue is at the same volume, but then a lot of the like miscellaneous NPC dialogue is just at like ear splitting volume, as is some of the lore.
It's just the demo.
And some of the diary entry stuff. So
The dire entry?
Diary entry stuff. Because it's all
diarrhea
voiced.
Entry? That's all a bad voiced. Idea.
Does all the voice stuff also have subtitles you can read?
Depends.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
The lore stuff, I think, well, maybe not.
I assume there's probably a place you can go that you can read that. A lot of it is just voiced over. Like, it will read it without putting the text on the screen. Huh. Like all the diary pages that you find.
It's kind of like the tapes you find in Bioshock, where you'll find them and then you can click this thing and it will just play them
while you're doing other stuff.
One thing that I noticed is that it like detects downtime and dudes will talk to you. Like, when you had that Templar sidekick, I cleared out a hallway, and then as I was running back down the hallway, my character, the barbarian, was like, "So, what do they do to criminals in your homeland?" And then the Templar's like, "They bring them to justice." And the bartender says, "That's cool."
Bartender?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be my favorite class.
Paraphrasing of the conversation, and also I'm sorry that my barbarian turned into a bartender halfway through, but it was like, that's kind of interesting that like they recorded some stuff and the game knows when it's like, we should play some ambient conversation to establish this ooga booga. Like,
every time
you
get experience point bonuses for killing a bunch of monsters with a single hit. You get a bunch of experience points for killing a bunch of monsters in a single. I don't know. Like
a single
session,
massacre.
Yeah. Ooh. You get like massacre points, and then apparently you can get experience point bonuses for destroying a bunch of stuff. All
I went
at the
into
same
this
time.
Field and smacked a bunch of pumpkins. I poisoned a bunch of pumpkins with poison darts, and then I got like 20 experience for destroying a bunch of objects.
You get experience for finding diary pages.
Cool.
So there's some in-game benefit for doing that, I guess.
So that's the news.
Do you have to collect pages 3, 4, 8, 17, 22, and 76 of a book that's just built.
The training manuals are
around.
5 pages long.
But no matter which page you find, it's still the right page. Which is a little weird.
Yeah, whatever.
I had one character that on a playthrough got 3 books worth, and one character on a playthrough that did not get a single book's worth.
Yep.
It's like
very variable.
Yeah. But, you know,
random draws.
That's what we pay for. Yep. When we pay for Diablo.
Well, and plus, and you're only seeing, you're only getting that assortment of random drops over a much smaller space of gameplay than you would in the final game.
Sure.
So over a longer amount of time, that'll even help.
And also, I mean, Diablo is a game that is designed to be replayed, right? Like you replay it at higher difficulty. Speaking of games that you replay at higher difficulty, let's come back in a second and talk about our assignment. Our assignment, which is Bastion. How'd you guys feel about Bastion? Dave, you don't get to participate in this part.
I watched some.
Oh, did you?
It was really pretty. I love the way it looks. I love the narrator.
Yep, I will agree with those assertions.
That was, my favorite part was being a room away and hearing the narrator say something that dragged me back in the room to see what was going on.
My girlfriend, I played for like an hour, and then I played for another hour today, and she was around the corner, and she was like, "Is this game just a single really, really long cutscene?" I was like, nope, never a single cutscene. Oh, I guess there are a little bit of cutscenes.
Occasionally there's like a painting and the narrator says another line and then it goes back.
The art style very much reminds me of Braid.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Is it the same guy? It's not the same guy, is it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the very first thing that he said besides like the kid woke up or whatever was the kid fell off and died. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Which I guess is everybody's experience or whatever.
And then when you got to like the one large room that had a bunch of stuff in it and just started smashing shit and he says, "And then the kid just raged for a while."
Yeah.
And that happened the first time I played it in the demo at Comic-Con. I got a ways into it. I got all 6 of the places established in the Bastion and felt that was fairly pointless. Like,
You didn't like the fact that you're effectively unlocking interface elements?
I don't mind the fact that I'm unlocking interface elements. I don't necessarily feel like being given a meaningless choice is a good use of...
I don't know if it's
like
meaningless.
I felt like I was being...
You could decide how your town
game,
looks.
Because, sort of... Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I mean, not really, because the slots unlock at a slower pace, and the buildings. So that first slot, there's only 2 possible buildings, and one of those buildings is going to end up in that corner of the town.
Sure. I tried to leave without inserting the core, and it wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
You have to build the bastion before it lets you progress. Yeah,
it's not a big or meaningful choice, but would it be better if you had no choice at all?
I think yes, because a choice... So what I was worried about was that it was going to, like, I could have a fixed number of buildings in my town.
There are eight different kinds of buildings.
And then it was just like, well, fuck, I'm stressed out because I have this choice. But then it turns out the choice is meaningless because one more tiny, short, easy level and I get whichever thing I didn't choose this time.
Right.
And I guess maybe it makes a little bit of a difference, like whether you get to change your passives or not before the second level.
That was what I was going to say, is like, I feel like there were definitely some minor interface differences based on which thing you chose, because you can, like, yeah, okay, now I can actually change my weapons at will. The first one I chose was the armory or whatever, so that I could get refilled with my health potions and
the apothecary.
Whatever the one is that you like, whenever you go in to change your weapons,
armory.
Whenever you go in there, you get all your potions refilled.
Don't you get them all refilled when you start a level?
I'm pretty sure you.
You might. I didn't know.
I don't know. I got that dude, that little squirtling dude, mm-hmm. who you can talk to, and he makes a noise. I don't know what that's all
he
about.
He does actually become. I don't want to spoil anything. Okay. There are more dudes like that appear. They are important.
I got to the point where the singer came back, and then there were more people that you could talk to. The lost and found thing was interesting. I didn't realize what was going on there, but we discussed our experiences collectively and figured, like, that just lets you buy things that lets that you buy missed. Pickups that you missed in previous levels, because I guess it doesn't let you go back to old levels
ever.
I assumed that it would.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just doesn't.
That seems a little unfriendly.
Well, I mean, so that's the same kind of thing that happens in Professor Layton, for example, and.
Yeah, except
that seemed really friendly, right?
But in Professor Layton, it doesn't punish you for not having ground up a couple levels by really thoroughly playing the early puzzles in a way that might make it impossible for you at a given skill level to beat a later
puzzle. If you want to grind, I mean, there's the pipe, and later there's that cook pot that you probably haven't seen yet.
I did see the pipe. I got killed midway through that. Yeah. I guess, do you maintain that experience when you die, I guess?
Yeah.
So you can keep fighting those dudes? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you get experience for fighting the stuff in those arenas? Probably not. Man, that was the other thing. The first one of those challenge level things gives you...
Jesus.
The first one was like, all right, so this, I practiced it a little bit and got good at it. The rest of them, I was like, there is no fucking way that I could ever get second place of
the weapon trainers.
Yeah.
The shotgun thing was trivial.
Shotgun was very easy.
I didn't get to the shotgun.
I got second place on a few of them, but yeah, there are not very many of them that I think I first placed like two or three of them.
The fang repeat. I first placed the bow one because that was just like you had all the time you wanted and you just had to keep trying it until you got the timing down right on the shots. But like the repeater one, I literally have no idea how you go about doing any better at the repeater one.
And the machete one is bullshit.
Almost
just straight up.
Did you?
On the repeater one?
My
yeah,
God,
it's not too bad.
It's awful.
Yeah, the machete one
was super hard.
Fucking ridiculous. Yeah, I finished it and I was like, 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was my
like,
first time
beat
too.
90 seconds to get second place. I'm like, fuck you. Like,
the second time I did it,
I said, fuck you, game.
The second time I did it,
I'm leaving.
Exactly what I
was.
Yeah.
I got 2 minutes in the second time. So you can definitely improve.
Is there some sort of upgrading system or
something
that you'll be able to
go
back?
The trick to that one is upgrading the throwing on your machete so you're throwing more than one machete at a time, I guess.
Okay, because it just missed all the fucking time. Like, it took 4 minutes for me to track down the last 20 dudes that were floating around.
Because you have
to
kill,
throw a fucking machete at it, and it would just miss two times out of three.
You have to, the way it works is you have to kill, have to kill like 50 guys in a time limit, and as soon as you pop into the level, they all appear and then run away from you. Yeah. And some of them run to platforms that you can't get to because they can fly and you can't. It's
pretty brutal.
So you have to use the throw on this machete, and it's just crazy inaccurate.
Yeah.
Like, you can usually hit them if you throw it at a time when they're moving directly toward you or directly away from you, mm-hmm. but if they're moving side to side, you just miss.
Huh.
Even using the like lock on thing that was super aggravating. I'm enjoying. I am a sucker for a story where the elements in the story are named the noun that they are with a capital letter, right? Because that is a way of like telling a story in the abstract. Like, whereas I think if all of these things had stupid made up fantasy names, I would be.
Can you give a concrete example?
Well, like The Singer, you find The Singer, okay. Right? You don't find like Zufocricios, the singer, yeah, right? Yeah. Like,
you do find out her name.
You find out their names, right? But right, but it's not.
And you're also the kid, and like
And you are you are in the Bastion. You are not in the lost city of Egitania or whatever, right? Like it's, and you know, coming up with names for shit is hard. But like,
I mean, it makes it more like everyman sort of comic book. It's very Scott McCloud in its sort of appeal. But
visually, I wish that they. The fact that they kind of like shoot their wad with the
platforms
variety
floating in
the variety of the visuals to begin with makes this of the levels like kind of don't have any identity.
I
that,
hated the fact that I couldn't
changes
does
as,
it?
As you go. I recommend you at least play through the next level after you install all six buildings.
Okay.
Because then a plot event occurs, and then the next main level that you go play through after that is really interesting.
Okay.
I don't understand why the whole game is set in such a way that you can just fall off every edge.
and randomly just holes in stuff. You're like, oh, okay, so this
and
turned out to not...
punch holes in the floor for
that
you.
That is actually pretty cool. That I really like. Like a boss fight that's got that sort of like... That was one of my favorite parts of Tron, right? Was like the idea of one of the things that you can do to this guy that you're fighting is destroy the environment so that he has to jump from thing to thing.
So it's kind of, I mean, it's a downer that you can fall off the sides of things, but the flip side is that you can trick monsters into falling off the sides.
Sure, you can't always fall off the sides of things. Right. Like,
sure, but I always end up breaking all the walls.
But a lot of times there are walls that you can't break. A lot of the times there are non-destructible scenery objects. The thing that drives me nuts about it is that every level is every fucking color at the same time. So a lot of the time, there will be a hole in the ground, and because of the way that you're positioned over the background layer, it doesn't register to
it's
me
not
as
obvious.
A hole. It registers to me as a brown tile.
And
but no, it turns out there's just something brown on the other side of
and
it.
Sometimes
and
you can't
it.
Tell what's landscape and what's scenery. Like, I remember there was a level where Kevin went to walk out on top of an awning, and it turned out just to be empty space.
Yeah, I found myself getting hit by some, like on the level where you're on that barge, there is a point where there's a barge that's apparently sort of underneath and behind your barge, and I was like, oh, I'm going to run over onto this, like, they've docked with my barge, I'm going to run over there and kill those guys, and then I just fell off the barge because apparently they were just sort of behind it in a way that made it look like it was adjacent to it. Because, I mean, you know. It's a problem with isometric stuff, right? And I mean, it's also a problem with like top-down stuff that's not isometric. That it's hard to accurately convey variations in height.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean,
these are minor.
It's a thing you have to get used to. But I didn't think it was that bad to get used to it.
I really enjoyed the game. I probably will keep playing it.
I hate the Xbox controls, and that's that, you know, I didn't really bring it up because I don't feel like it's the problem with the game. I think it's a problem with me, but I'm so used to playing games on PCs that having to like remember which of these four buttons is my attack and which is my roll and which is
I wish I had it on PlayStation because I have memorized which symbol is which button on the PlayStation and I don't on the Xbox.
Yeah, I kept. I mean, maybe I could reconfigure the controller or something in a way, but I continually would like roll off an edge when I meant to like shoot instead.
It's interesting to me that somebody who could memorize terms from a biological textbook he read 20 years ago without trying to actually memorize, he can just roll those right off the top of his head.
That was when my brain was young and fresh.
To be fair, in spite of that, he does not know what it means to have a character build. So some terms he can't memorize.
So, you know, the fact that Blizzard calls it a character build, you know, doesn't mean anything. So whatever, you know.
They don't know everything.
Yeah, they're fallible. They're humans.
Yeah.
They can get their not fancy like rings and shields and swords, but they don't get to write the dictionary.
They get to write the librum.
That's true. They've just determined that librum is a word that means book, and so we get to have another word for book.
So what? Video games. What's next week's assignment going
to
be?
I think we should do Team Fortress 2.
Woohoo!
I think that's what the kids want us to do. There is a there is already a player run Team Fortress 2 video games hot dogs server. Which, Kevin, you should read that because you've had less to drink than I have.
Okay, so we might come up...
I'm sitting right here next to it. Would you like me to
We might come up with an alias for this, and we might post it on like the Video Games Hot Dog website or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But just in case, I'll go ahead and read what we have now, which is steam:/connect/68.232.181.49:27015. And the password is all one word, password hot dog. There's all one word is not.
That's also the password, coincidentally, to all of our websites and Twitter accounts and everything. So don't fuck with those while you're logging into. We're trusting all 15,000 of you.
Did you know that my mother's maiden name is password hot dog?
I did know that. Yeah, so we will almost invariably come up with something that's a little more pithy, something videogameshotdog.com/TF2 or something. Until then, which might be a couple days from when you hear this, you should pause and rewind your VHS tape.
Okay, videogameshotdog.com/TF2. I will endeavor before I go home tonight to make that redirect to this.
That would be great.
Cool.
You should also endeavor
to install 1.8 on our Minecraft
server. No.
So, aww. Yeah. And then the other issue
girlfriend wants to
is play. That I think for this for her. All of this to have any meaning, I think we all need to be playing at the same time.
No, I'm very good at disappointing my girlfriend.
I think we also need to set some time that we're going to play in the next week as a group, and I don't know when that makes sense to do.
I don't know. We can post it in the forums.
I already have done that.
We need to do it after this episode actually launches so that people will have heard it.
Our schedules are so busy. How will we find time?
So do we maybe do Sunday evening at some point?
I got to record Advice Hot Dog on Sunday evening.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's never a time when we don't have anything to do.
I have to shampoo my cat.
I have to rake my tongue.
I have to vacuum the yard.
Well, we could do it Tuesday. Tuesday.
Cinco de Mayo's on Tuesday.
That's not true.
Why did my brain start running to say, wow, it is? Wow, that's amazing.
All right.
Every day is Cinco de Mayo.
Let us tentatively say, you should check the forums, but let's tentatively say that Tuesday, September 20th, 2011.
There's a movie. There's a scheduled Tuesday, movie screening.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes, I am. I'm going to see Moneyball. I'm serious. I'm not making this up.
Okay, so there is literally no.
Literally never any time when I don't have a bunch of shit to do. Like, welcome to my life. Like, it's.
Okay, so yeah, then we can't. So basically,
everybody plays Team Fortress 2. Never.
We're gonna have to play this in small groups, and Zach is never gonna be part of anybody's group.
Well, do you want to set a time for everybody except Zach?
Well, so
and if you want to do it in a way that's no fun.
I mean, I would suggest let's just try Sunday afternoon. Let's see if we can try Sunday at, let's say, 2 p.m. Pacific time, so 5 p.m. Eastern time. Let's try to have a bunch of people on the server and play some games and see what it's like.
Stab dudes with a knife.
Yeah, I have never played this game, so I am going to be a fucking skeleton. Terrible.
I played all the, all the little training sims, and I played a bunch with bots, and that was it. So I have no idea what I'm doing for the most part, except, shoot a guy.
Well, we will see you on Sunday, and everybody will shoot you in the face.
Yay! Wait, no, boo!
Hey guys, how about some listeners' mail?
Why not?
Let's see. I'm just going to sort of answer these emails in random order. Who is this from? Who is this from? This is from a man called Tide Gear. Hello, hot dog gentlemen. I bought Everlands because of your description of the game reminded me a bit of Neuroshima Hex, a board game turned iOS game. I enjoy it, but it's certainly built around always being the underdog. I really recommend Neuroshima Hex. While actually more complex and deep, that gives you more of options in a given situation. It's currently better in just about every way and is currently on sale. I'm sure that's not true anymore.
I do have a copy of that, but I haven't actually tried it yet.
It is a game. Dave, you brought it last year,
yeah,
the board
the
game,
heck out of the
board game version
board
of it. I cannot imagine playing that as a board game. Like, it is, you make some choices, and then it is just so much, like, procedural math that you have to do.
It's not that much, though. The board is so limited. You know, you've got so few pieces out there.
I in playing maybe 30 games of that on iOS, never did not just get slaughtered by the lowest powered AI that the computer had. Like, it is one of those games that I am just so fucking bad at that I cannot even see the ass of being good at that game as it speeds away from me down a road. Yeah, man. It's whatever it is about the way that you have to think in order to be okay at that game is just not a thing that I'm capable of.
Instead of thinking in three dimensions, you have to think in six.
Well, time is a dimension, right? You have to think in on a hex grid, yeah, which is confusing to my tiny brain. I like square grids. I like my dungeons like I like my ladies, free of hexes. Well, no, because you don't want a bunch of frogs pouring out of her vagina.
Yeah, it's more likely than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, Neuroshima Hex is a good game for the people who like that kind of game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it the Abraham Lincoln recommendation. Unrelated, have you played Captain Forever and its following sequels? I love them so much that I wrote this article, and then he links to this article on tech-gaming.com. And since it's Flash-based, those with Macs can still play. Captain Forever was cool.
Oh, that was the one where you captured fragments of ships and nailed them onto your own ship
to
make an awesome ship.
Well, or to make a super shitty ship that you, that couldn't turn left if you were me. It was, oh, this ship rules. Yeah. Oh, wait, fuck, there's something except to my left. I can't go left.
Yeah, I remember playing some of that. It was interesting. It got hard, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played any of the sequels. I hope that maybe they're more structured and cool and have more, like, game there than just running around asteroiding or whatever. This is super video games related. Jen Braun writes, here are my questions. Do you have a recommendation for a water filter for when I'm hiking? I drink a lot and I'm limited by how much water I can carry and not by my stamina. Also, how can I become a faster hiker? I'm in Western Pennsylvania and we have a lot of hills here. Thanks. Lose 100 pounds.
No. Okay. So depends on where you're hiking, but if you have if there is flowing water, I think the right filter is a freaking gravity filter. Those things are so much better than the pump filters we've been using.
Yeah, we met a woman on the trail who wanted to she was hiking by herself, and so she wanted to accompany us on a part where there was a lot of snow so that there would be somebody there if she slid off a ravine to inform her next of kin.
Yeah. And she had, she had an awesome gravity filter,
which is just you fill a big bag up with water and then hold it up, and then water squirts into your mouth.
Not into your mouth, into a bottle or whatever. And it was just 10 times faster. Well, probably 4 times faster than our pump filters.
I mean, just get the lightest one that you can afford is the question.
Yeah. I mean, so what do we use? We use the MSR.
I thought it was MSI. It was shrieking in a really high pitched voice. Yeah. And there were a lot of drum machines.
That's true. So yeah, I think we have MSR ones that fold up real small. And then, yeah, but the gravity filter, I think, is probably the way to go. The pump filters are really good if the water is really sparse, or if you have to pump out of sort of tepid, gross pools, which we've done, and that has worked out okay. Yeah. We've survived and did not get sick.
Let's see. Peter Bernishev says about Diablo 3. Oh, cool. We can talk about Diablo 3 some more. For me, a reason why the whole having to be online for Diablo 3 thing sucks is because I'm the sort of guy who only plays PC games when my internet doesn't work. So on planes and whenever I can't figure out how to fix my Wi-Fi. Whenever the internet does work, I just browse online. Admittedly, not a big part of their demographic, but I was excited about this game. Always have Torchlight, I guess. Also, hey, opinions on Torchlight and Torchlight 2? I'm super psyched for Torchlight 2. You cannot, at this point, in my estimation, do a better job of making a Blizzard game than Blizzard does, right? There is just not a chance that Torchlight 2 is going to be better than Diablo 3. No. There's just no way.
I mean, it does have Diablo 3 has one version on them, so.
But, I mean, Torchlight, I remember talking about this on the KOL podcast. With Diablo 2, I got bored with it and quit playing, but I never... I mean, maybe this was 10 years of making video games professionally in the interim that just turned me into a different kind of person, but I began to see Torchlight as just a fundamentally empty experience. Because there was more or less no story to Torchlight, and I know that the story in Diablo is pretty nominal, right?
and yet is one of my favorite.
It really is. Stories. It really is just really well done, right? Like the progression of playing through the randomly generated environments of Diablo is punctuated at just the right rate by the story progression.
Yeah.
And I think that if anything in Diablo 3, they're going to do a slightly better job of making those more.
They have talked about a lot.
Diablo 3 is a lot more
the backstory of your companion characters. And,
it's a lot more linear, but there's also just a lot more like little lore bits and stuff that you find. I mean, and Torchlight just didn't have that. Torchlight, the levels were like really samey, and
it was just a very very modern upgraded NetHacky sort of game.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it was definitely Diablo. You said that Bastion struck you as being like Diablo, which it didn't really mean.
As a way to label the gameplay, you've got a,
I mean, I guess in that it was in that it was an action RPG.
Yeah,
I mean, I
guess you've got this character that you're moving around in third person, you're shooting stuff and swinging a sword. As
that seems more like Zelda than.
Well. I mean,
Zelda with more enemies, like some sort of weird hybrid between Zelda and Diablo, I guess.
Yeah.
There aren't the randomized drops in Bastion.
There aren't randomized drops. There aren't randomized. There aren't procedurally generated levels. You don't have.
There might be. I'm not.
I think those levels may be procedural. I'm not sure. When I watched Kevin playing, it seemed like maybe those layouts weren't familiar to me, and just the scenery.
It's so hard to tell, though, with it.
I could not tell for sure.
That's cool, and I kind of wish that there was like one level that was like that, but I don't know that they. I don't want to like criticize the fundamental visual aesthetic of the thing because that's the choices they. And it's a fucking amazing game for people who've never made a game before, right? Like that.
Oh, did they never make?
This is the first thing I've heard of with Greg Kasavin's name on it. Like he was like the chief editor for GameSpot for a really long time. Like he was just a guy. Like he was a guy whose name I got familiar with because when he wrote reviews. Mm-hmm. His opinions about games were usually close enough to mine that, like, if I saw his name on a review, I'm like, I can trust this review, right? So he was like one of the only like games journalists whose names I got to know by him being good at his job. And then like this is just him. He like broke off and crossed and is like design guy on this and founded Supergiant Games, I think. And I don't know what else they've made, but nothing that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
This thing's a pretty serious game.
Yeah, it's freaking beautiful.
Timothy Swan writes, I'm going to read this even though we have a totally uninteresting answer as far as I know. For next time, did any of you ever play Little Big Adventure /Relentless/ Twinsons Odyssey? Thoughts on the cross-genre beauty? It was quite possibly my favorite game as a child. Definitely number one if Star Wars ones were excluded.
Never heard of it.
Nope, never heard of it either.
Yeah, me either.
So, sorry, Tim. What Star Wars games did you have that were any fucking good?
I don't think I had any, really.
Well, I mean, my friends were into, like, X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
Okay. I guess those were games that people did like and get into. Like, people... I mean, I guess that was, like, the sort of good Star Wars version of Wing Commander.
I played Wing Commander, was awesome, but I never played X-Wing.
That first Doom-like that they did
I enjoyed that one.
Wasn't the Old Republic okay? The first one?
Oh, yeah.
Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah, it was pretty good. But, I mean, this is, like, stuff when he was a kid, right? Like, I guess the only Star Wars games was really good. Yeah, the arcade Star Wars was really fun, like that, which is the only one that existed when we were kids.
Yeah.
Takanoko of TV Nihon writes, Hi, VG Hot Dogs. I was just wondering how you guys first found out that Samus Aran was a female. It may seem like a given now, but back in the early NES days, it was sort of a big deal. I think it's the first game that I can recall that had a twist revelation at the end. I still don't think that was a twist revelation. I don't think that they made the decision that this game had a female character. I think they were just like, what should we do with the ending? Oh, I know. Let's say that it was female the whole time.
Even if they didn't write that until the very end, it's still a twist revelation to everyone playing the game.
Sure, I guess.
Would it still be a twist at
the end of The Sixth Sense if it turns out that Bruce Willis was actually the same person as the child? But they just decided that at the very end, and then it didn't make any sense relative to anything that happened in the rest of the game.
Oh, well, I mean,
like, girls can't jump that high. Like, it can't have been a girl the whole time.
They can roll into balls, though.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. Had some roll into my balls just this weekend.
Woo! I don't get that.
I don't... What? See, I made it up at the very end, and it wasn't really respective of anything that we said up until that point, which is why I don't think it was, like, real. Dear VGHD, says Michael Bosmini, given that you've been a lot more PC / Mac focused than a lot of current gaming podcasts, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what are some good PC co-op games of today or yesteryear. Portal 2 co-op knocked my socks off. I got a friend back into gaming, and I'd love to play more games of that caliber. I don't think I've had a co-op video game experience that was as satisfying as Portal 2 co-op.
Borderlands was good.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy, did
you
I
didn't play that co-op. You
boy,
didn't play
did
that
I not
PC,
have
though.
That experience.
Well, I mean, it may depend. Okay, so it could have been better. I feel like when Jenny and I played it, the experience we had was awkward, but it wasn't the fault of the game. It was because I was playing a sniper and she was using a rocket launcher, so I'd be very carefully aiming at a guy off in the distance, and suddenly my entire screen is filled with fire and I can't see anything.
So
but that's not necessarily the case for every pair of players.
I did not play any co-op Borderlands, but I played it and had a really sort of an unfun experience with it, and then my girlfriend played it like a year later and had an identical unfun experience with it, which was just that, like, following the main quest line, I got to a point where there was no monster on the map that I could kill.
We don't understand how that happened to you, because guys always respawned for us. There was always, like, there was always a level 3 dude sitting outside of town attacking us when we left.
Well,
so
okay,
we don't know how you ran out of guys to kill.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did just nobody ever respond for you?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I wasn't looking around in the right places or something, but it was like everything was either trivially low level, like the level 3 guy that would ambush you every time you left town, or it was this thing that I had a mission for, which I would just run up and get just murdered before I could even get a couple shots in.
I think maybe you just needed to go back to the medium level areas.
What about
maybe I did
co-op Minecraft?
That's really the only game I think that I've played co-op.
Yeah.
I usually do things.
We don't tend to play it together, really.
But some people have.
No, we could. And people on our server have.
We do. Like, we do a lot of, wow, I found this big cavern. Who wants to help me, you know, clear this out? And then I've been downloading a lot of pre-made adventures that I've been doing co-op, either with Tim / Moth and also my son. So.
What about World of Warcraft?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have played a tremendous amount of that with like one or two other people running around, and
like,
that is
the thing
is
that I
fun.
Think made me stick with World of Warcraft was playing it with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Like you had an alt that you only ever played with me, and all we did was play through the entire game.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Played a lot of two-player World of Warcraft.
Did a lot of DDO, but I'd never, like, the way that I played, I never got to really establish a set of friends that I could play with.
For whatever reason, I interpreted that as Dance Dance Revolution. it was a few letters off, but I was like, what do you mean? Because it seems like co-op, you know, you're just, like, dancing next to somebody. I feel like with DDO, they had all that forced grouping, and it just made everybody an asshole.
Towards the end, I think that's why I ended up dropping away this last time, is because I couldn't... it was way too hard to find a nice group of strangers to start playing.
Because you had to play with somebody else, and then they were like, what the fuck are you doing?
You didn't have to.
Well, when you played it. When I played it, they didn't have solo difficulty on most of the dungeons, so you couldn't do anything if you weren't in a full group.
If the two of you have the same play style, there's always Diablo 2.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
I think Diablo 3 will be a lot of fun co-op.
I think it will.
I'd kind of like to play co-op
We should play some multiplayer during the demo beta.
I can't wait till I have a real computer.
Demo.
Yeah, I can't think of any other co-op game. Oh, you know what I had a lot of fun with was the Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games.
Oh, yeah.
As much as they were just, like, just totally by the numbers, dungeon crawl, collect gold, buy better weapons to dungeon crawl and collect more gold and buy better weapons, like, I had a lot of fun playing those with my roommate at the time.
There was some
sweet skeleton smashing. You could be a dwarf. That was the first game I ever saw that had, like, titty jiggling physics on the on the bar wench.
Huh.
As she was talking to you, her bosoms would heave.
Interesting.
It's pretty satisfying.
It's neat. When I was in college, most of the co-op PC gaming was one person playing the game while he had an audience of like three or four people sitting around just watching. It was like between, so there was a lot of Minds of Moria, Star Commander, and then we would also watch people play Zelda.
You're just like this is like you're making up the names of video games no, for a
those
movie.
Are real. Those are real. That Minds of Moria was a rogue. Was
Star
a rogue
Commander.
Like. Wasn't it Star... There, Wing, Commander, Wing Commander, Wing Commander, Wing okay. Commander. You all shut right. your face. Shut it.
Wing Commander is like kind of like a little movie, though.
Yeah.
So that's that. I can see that.
The shot-for-shot reconstruction of the Battlestar Galactica fighter launch sequence.
What about RTS like StarCraft?
Yeah, I was about to say that when I was in high school, or right after high school, me and a buddy of mine played a significant amount of like 2v2 World of Warcraft on Kali. Not World of Warcraft. Warcraft 2.
Warcraft 2.
Yeah. But, back in 95, we had a super advanced copy of World of Warcraft. And it was a lot of fun. Like, we'd just sit and get drunk and play 2v2 World of Warcraft. Fucking, why can't I not
Warcraft
say Warcraft
2?
Worlds of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And
Two worlds, two of Warcraft.
It was fun. Like, it didn't matter whether we won or lost, yeah. right? It was, like, just, like, sweet... So much more fun than a 1v1.
I think two players versus computer co-op StarCraft would be a lot of fun.
I used to really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I would just go on a Battle.net and be like, 5 versus 1 PC on ultra hard difficulty or whatever. And so, like, sometimes it would manage to kill one of us, but, like, you know, we're going to win. But that's okay. Let's just pretend that this is, like, Greg Costigan's RTS, where it's like, the players are supposed to win.
Yeah.
I remember playing a lot of... Bungie had a game called Marathon. It was We had Descent, which was basically it was a first-person shooter, except you were a spaceship flying around
in 3D space.
3D space. That was really, really neat. And then there was Hexen, which was Doom with magic wands. We played a lot of those.
If Carmageddon were co-op, that would have been cool.
Played a lot of Might and Magic 1 and 2 with my dad, but it wasn't really a co-op game so much as it was me occasionally getting in trouble for getting the party killed
game. Warlord, that wasn't co-op, that was directly...
It was competitive.
But competitive.
Rampart.
Here's a Might and Magic 3, I think it was. Whichever one was out like in 93, 94...
Hot seat
we
games.
Would we would hot seat that and we would play so you would
is that like where you light a joint, put it under your chair and then everybody sits on the chair
just to improve the super, odor super in the high. Room
we would have a magic game going on the floor and then hot seat for that or for Scorched Earth on the computer
Scorched
and
Earth.
Then going over and playing Street Fighter on the whichever console that had been at the time.
In high school,
fucking nerds.
In high school, we would do a lot of that. We would do a lot of like card or board game on the floor with a hot seat computer.
Carter
game.
The unstoppable board game machine.
Yeah. Warlords would get like their turns would get so long that people would like start like we would like you know late into the evening people would just start going to sleep and then you would just wake up the next.
Well, I thought you were talking about Warlords for the Atari 2600, the like multiplayer breakout game.
That was so
fun. Like,
no.
Wait, turns long? What? All right. I think that's enough. I think that's enough show for this time. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question or get a hold of us or learn more about any of this shit, where would they go?
The best place to go would be videogameshotdog.com. You could also feel free to follow us on Twitter at VGHotDog or send us emails at VGHotDog@gmail.com.
You know what would be awesome? iTunes reviews.
That would be pretty
good. Go to iTunes. Yeah. Give us a review. Give us a rating.
I think we can't keep asking about it so often.
Yeah, we can.
No.
Sure.
I haven't asked about it in at least a month.
I haven't asked for it ever.
Yeah, ask for it,
there
Dave.
There you go.
I think that
ask
we
for
should
it
get
by name.
iTunes review for VG Hot Dog.
Wow.
Wow, if that came out on the mic, I would be so impressed.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great week, everybody.
See you.